They called him the Zodiac. He called himself God. He claimed 37 victims, but only 5 were ever confirmed. He shot couples at point-blank range, stabbed young lovers in daylight, sent coded letters with blood-stained clues, taunted police, dared journalists, signed his notes with a symbol that haunts America to this day, a circle with a cross through it, like a target, as if we were all being watched. But here's what they don't tell you. Despite one of the largest manhunts in California history, no one was ever arrested. The killings stopped, or so we think. The letters didn't. Some say he died, some say he moved. Others whisper what few dare ask aloud. What if the Zodiac simply evolved? This isn't a ghost story. It's a forensic deep dive into a killer who documented his own madness, outsmarted the system, and left behind a legacy of fear coded in symbols we still can't decipher. You've heard of serial killers, but you've never heard one narrate his crimes in real time and then vanish without a trace. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Hunting in Code Vallejo, California, December 20th, 1968. It began with a teenage couple parked at the edge of Lake Herman Road. David Faraday, 17, and Betty Lou Jensen, 16, were on their first real date. Their parents had given them a curfew. They never made it home. At approximately 11:15 p.m., someone approached their car, possibly blocking their exit. A series of gunshots shattered the cold night. Betty Lou ran. She made it only 28 feet before collapsing, 5 bullets in her back. David was shot in the head at close range. There was no sexual assault, no robbery, just execution. There were no witnesses, no fingerprints, no shell casings, just 2 bodies in a lover's lane and the kind of silence that screams. Police had theories. Maybe a jealous ex. Maybe a random attack. But nobody mentioned the word serial yet. That word would come soon. From the killer himself. July 4th, 1969. The message begins. Darlene Ferrin, 22, was vibrant, married, and known for attracting attention. That night she was sitting with Michael Majot, 19, in a blue Corvair at Blue Rock Springs Park. Fireworks still popped in the distance. A car pulled up behind them, then drove away. Minutes later, it returned. The driver got out and fired a 9mm Luger into the car. Michael survived. Darlene didn't. At 12:40 a.m., a call came in to Vallejo police. A calm male voice said, "I want to report a double murder. If you will go 1 mile east in Columbus Parkway, you will find kids in a brown car. They were shot with a 9mm Luger. I also killed those kids last year. Goodbye." It was the first time the killer called himself in. It wouldn't be the last. August 1, 1969. The ciphers arrive. 3 major newspapers, the San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco Examiner, and Vallejo Times-Herald, received nearly identical handwritten letters. Each began, "Dear editor, I am the killer of the 2 teenagers last Christmas at Lake Herman." But these weren't confessions. They were games. Each envelope included 1/3 of a 408 symbol cipher. He demanded the letters be printed on the front page, or he'd kill again. The killer signed off with a symbol, a circle with a cross through it. And then he wrote, "In this cipher is my identity." The FBI got involved. Cryptographers scrambled. The Zodiac's puzzle was cracked a week later, not by the government, but by a schoolteacher and his wife in Salinas. Decoded, it read, "I like killing people because it is so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest, because man is the most dangerous animal of all." There was no name, no identity, just a manifesto of bloodlust. Lake Berryessa, September 27, 1969. It was broad daylight when college students Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd were enjoying a picnic at Lake Berryessa. A man approached them wearing a black hood with sunglasses over the fabric and a white bib emblazoned with a crude version of his now iconic symbol. He held a gun and claimed to be an escaped convict from a prison in Montana. He said he only needed their car and money. Then he pulled out a knife. Cecilia was stabbed 10 times, Brian 6 times. Before leaving, the man used a black marker to scrawl on the couple's car door, Vallejo, 12, 20, 68, 7, Opal, 69, Sept, 27, 69, 6:30, by knife. Cecilia died 2 days later. Brian survived to describe the killer's outfit and voice. The Zodiac was no longer a faceless mystery. He had a uniform, a ritual, and a need to be known. San Francisco, October 11th, 1969. The Zodiac struck again, this time in the city, in daylight, in front of potential witnesses. Taxi driver Paul Stein picked up a fare at Union Square and headed to Presidio Heights. When they stopped, the passenger pulled out a 9mm and shot Stein in the head. Then he took Paul's wallet, keys, and tore away a piece of his bloodied shirt. 3 teenagers across the street watched it unfold from a window. They called police. Officers rushed to the scene, but a mistake in the police dispatch described the suspect as a black male. The killer, Caucasian, walked right past them. A few days later, a letter arrived at the Chronicle. Inside, another message, and the missing piece of Paul Stein's bloody shirt. Zodiac wrote, "School children make nice targets. I shall wipe out a school bus some morning, just shoot out the front tire, and then pick off the kiddies as they come bouncing out." The city panicked. Who was he? The Zodiac wasn't just a killer. He was a brand. He had a logo, a voice, a strategy. He controlled the media. He used fear like a sculptor uses clay. Each letter mocked police and reporters. He corrected their mistakes. He offered new threats. Then he raised the stakes again. November 8th, 1969. The 340 cipher another cryptogram, this one with 340 symbols. It would remain unsolved for over 51 years. When it was finally cracked in 2020 by a team of codebreakers in Australia, the message revealed chilling new words. "I hope you are having lots of fun in trying to catch me. That wasn't me on the TV show. I am not afraid of the gas chamber, because it will send me to paradise all the sooner." The Zodiac claimed he wasn't the person who called into a popular talk show pretending to be him, but he used the moment to amplify his myth. He even mocked the death penalty, spelling paradise as paradise, just like before. The suspects over the decades, dozens of suspects were investigated. One man stood out, Arthur Lee Allen, a convicted child molester, former teacher, loner. He owned a Zodiac brand wristwatch with the killer's symbol. He lived near the first crime scenes. He told people he wanted to kill couples. Police searched his trailer and found disturbing items, including small animals preserved in jars, but no DNA, no gun, no confession. He died in 1992. No charges were ever filed. The disappearances, as the 1970s began, the Zodiac's confirmed killings stopped, but the letters didn't. New ones kept arriving, some with more blood-soaked fabric, others with cryptic puzzles and mockery. In 1974, the Zodiac wrote a strange message referring to The Exorcist as the best satirical comedy that I have ever seen. He quoted Gilbert and Sullivan and ended with a new symbol, different from the crosshairs. And then he vanished. Or did he? Some experts believe the Zodiac continued to kill, just without the branding. Cases like Kathleen Johns, who was abducted in 1970 and barely escaped from a man matching the Zodiac's description. Donna Lass, a nurse who vanished from Lake Tahoe in 1970, after a bizarre postcard showed up referencing her. Cherry Jo Bates, murdered in 1966, 2 years before the first known Zodiac attack. The killer left notes at the scene. A 1970 Zodiac letter hinted, "I do have to give them credit for stumbling across my riverside activity." Authorities never confirmed these connections, but the Zodiac himself claimed at least 37 victims. Only 5 were verified. What happened to the rest? A killer who told us everything, and nothing most murderers flee. The Zodiac lingered. He forced the public into his performance. Every letter, cipher, and bloodied scrap was a declaration. "I control the narrative." He claimed to kill for fun, for power, for attention, but never for money, never for revenge. And as the years passed and the trail went cold, the question grew louder. Was it all just a game, or was it a message we still haven't finished reading? Chapter 2, Echoes and Obsessions, When a Killer Goes Silent, But the World Can't. The official Zodiac crime spree lasted barely a year. From late 1968 to 1969, 5 confirmed murders. Then, suddenly, the violence stopped. But what really ended? The killings? The ciphers? Or just the media attention? Because the letters kept coming. The fear never left. And America was already addicted. January 1974. The final letter, or was it? The last known confirmed letter from the Zodiac arrived at the San Francisco Chronicle on January 29, 1974. It read, "I saw and think The Exorcist was the best satirical comedy that I have ever seen. Signed, yours truly." He plunged himself into the billowy wave, and an echo arose from the suicide's grave. "Me, 37, SFPD, 0. The bizarre poetry, the literary allusions, the mocking scoreboard, and then radio silence. The Zodiac signature symbol vanished from envelopes. New threats appeared under different names. Some suspected these were the work of copycats. Others believed the Zodiac had evolved, choosing new targets, abandoning the theatrics, but continuing the hunt. What they didn't know was that the obsession was only beginning, not just his, ours. A country hooked on a cipher. By the 1980s, true crime had become an American pastime. TV shows like Unsolved Mysteries began airing Zodiac segments. Amateur sleuths, many of them veterans, engineers, or math prodigies, picked apart his ciphers, trying to find what law enforcement missed. One group spent 10 years analyzing one letter alone. Another obsessed over a single phrase, "My name is..." That particular cipher remains unsolved. It's only 13 characters long, but no name has ever fit conclusively. Some believe the answer is hidden in plain sight, masked in double encryption or intentionally flawed to frustrate. Others believe it's a red herring. Still, they search. The copycat Zodiac wasn't the first killer to taunt authorities. Jack the Ripper sent letters too. But he was the first to create a brand around his crimes. And others noticed. After his killings, dozens of Zodiac-style attacks appeared nationwide. In New York, the Son of Sam sent letters to newspapers, calling himself a monster. In Los Angeles, the Alphabet Killer left victims near locations matching their initials. In Japan, the monster with 21 faces wrote threats to candy companies and police. But none matched the control, tone, or mystery of the Zodiac. He had transformed from murderer to myth, and myths inspire imitation. Arthur Lee Allen, prime suspect or convenient scapegoat? Allen was first questioned in 1971. He had no alibi for the Lake Berryessa attack. He wore a Zodiac brand watch. His friends said he talked about wanting to kill couples. He fit the profile. Sort of. In 1991, police searched his trailer and found disturbing materials, bomb-making guides, child pornography, mutilated animal corpses, but no murder weapons, no blood-stained trophies, no cipher drafts. He died of a heart attack in 1992. Later, DNA and handwriting analysis cast doubt on his guilt. Partial DNA from a Zodiac letter didn't match Allen's, nor did the writing. He remains the most famous maybe in true crime history. If it wasn't Allen, who was it? New suspects, old lies. In 2021, a group called the Case Breakers claimed the Zodiac was Gary Francis Post, a house painter and Air Force veteran who died in 2018. They cited facial scars matching a police sketch, anagrammed ciphers, alleged military knowledge. But the FBI dismissed the claim. Zodiac case remains open, they said. In truth, they're no closer than they were in 1970. December 2020, the cipher that spoke back. It took 51 years, 3 amateur code breakers, 1 homemade computer program, and the Zodiac's longest cipher, the so-called 340, was finally cracked. Here's what it said. I hope you are having lots of fun in trying to catch me. I am not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise all the sooner. Because I now have enough slaves to work for me. He believed he was building a collection of souls, a hellish afterlife reward, the same delusion Charles Manson hinted at, the same theology Ted Bundy rejected. He wasn't just a killer, he was a believer in his own twisted gospel. Why the obsession won't die. Zodiac wasn't the deadliest serial killer in American history. That title likely belongs to Samuel Little or Gary Ridgway. But he was the most cinematic. He turned murder into theatre. Left trails, played games, used the press like his personal narrator, and never got caught. He was the first to weaponize mystery. That's why the obsession won't die. The victims behind the codes. For all the focus on the letters, the true story is written in blood. Let's remember their names. David Faraday, 17 Betty Lou Jensen, 16 Darlene Ferrin, 22 Cecilia Shepherd, 22 Paul Stein, 29 and the survivors, Michael Majot, Brian Hartnell. They lived to describe the Zodiac. They lived with the trauma. But we remember the killer's name more than theirs. That imbalance, that legacy, is part of his crime. Trial. Tapes. Zodiac, in his own words. The following passages are taken verbatim from Zodiac's original letters. They were written by hand, mailed to newspapers, and authenticated by law enforcement. Read them slowly. Imagine them scrawled in blocky capitals, dripping with ego. Letter 1, July 31st, 1969. I am the killer of the 2 teenagers last Christmas. I want you to print this cipher on the front page of your paper. In this cipher is my identity. If you do not print this cipher by the afternoon of Fry, 1st of Aug, I will go on a kill rampage. Letter 2, August 7, 1969. Dear Editor, this is the Zodiac speaking. I have become very upset with the people of San Fran Bay Area. They have not complied with my wishes for them to wear some nice Zodiac buttons. Letter 3, November 9th, 1969, 7-page manifesto. School children make nice targets. I think I shall wipe out a school bus some morning, just shoot out the front tire, and then pick off the kiddies as they come bouncing out. Letter 4, December 20th, 1969. This is the Zodiac speaking. I am the murderer of the taxi driver over by Washington St. plus Maple St. last night. To prove this here is a blood-stained piece of his shirt. Letter 5, April 20th, 1970. My name is Kant Cipher. I have killed 10 people to date. It would have been a lot more except that my bus bomb was a dud. Letter 6, October 27th, 1970. Halloween card. By fire, by gun, by rope, by knife. So long as you don't forget me. Letter 7, January 29th, 1974. I saw and think The Exorcist was the best satirical comedy that I have ever seen. SFPD, zero, me in 37. These words are not fiction. They were sent to real people, written with real blood, sealed in real envelopes, and every one of them remains a slap in the face of justice. The real fear, the Zodiac Killer didn't just murder, he infected the system. He turned police into performers, media into megaphones, the public into pawns. He's the reason we don't park on dead-end roads, the reason we flinch at anonymous letters, the reason unsolved feels worse than caught, because nothing is more terrifying than a ghost who writes back.